Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim's Uncanny Valley. We are back with more Chasing Sunsets. Now let's see here. It is the 21st. Well, it's the 22nd. So it'll be... Is it the 20th? I can't remember which day I start on my... I start my vacation. I can't remember if it's... Yeah, we'll try to give you something. I'll figure something out. If not, we'll bring you more Chasing Sunsets in January for sure. But let's get started. Tapu Beach, Tonalu. Mallory gazes across the ocean, lost in thought. I'll bet the good doctor has told everyone by now. They all know what you are. Hey, need a beer? Hi. No, I'm fine. Just thinking. I've seen you here every day this week. That's a lot of thinking. I guess it is. Which means you could probably use a beer. You know what? Why not? I'm Annie, by the way. Mallory. Mallory turns to accept the beer with a smile and her face goes pale. Something wrong? Your eyes. What about them? Annie thrusts the open beer toward Mallory like it's a baton in a relay. You gonna drink or what? Mallory accepts the bottle numbly while still staring transfixed at Annie. Don't even think about it. You could never be like her. Do you want me to leave you alone? I didn't want to make it awkward. Although it's kind of weird to accept a drink, but not the company. Mallory looks down at her beer in embarrassment. Kind of weird doesn't even scratch your surface. You're lucky I even came back. I'm sorry, they just caught me by surprise. What, my eyes? Yeah, I guess you're not the first reaction I've had like that. I like them. Pretty unique if you ask me. Standing out doesn't seem to be a problem for you, Annie. Well, having different colored eyes certainly helps. Cheers! Annie clinks her bottle against Mallory's and both women drink.
Don't listen to her. I'm all you have left now that you've killed your disabled friend.
It's so beautiful here, and so blah at home. I don't want to leave. I suppose if you have to be miserable, there are worse places to do it. Miserable? Gotta be a boy then. It's a lot of things. Damn, well, divide and conquer then. What do you mean? Deal with what you can, bit by bit, and fuck the rest. Usually works for me. If only it were that easy. Hey, you can't fix everything. I know that from first-hand experience. But could you throw in the fuck-it bucket right now if you wanted to? Mallory looks into Annie's eager face and feels something click inside her. You're right, Dad. You're all I have left of my self-loathing. Reaching towards her face, she hesitantly removes her contact lenses.
Wait, what do you think you're doing?
I can say fuck it to this. Shit, you're just like me. Why were you even hiding that?
Stop, you need those. You need me!
Furiously, Mallory tosses the tinted lenses into the water.
Fuck off, Daddy!
Maybe I just needed the right person to come along and guide me to the same question. I brought beer too, so don't forget that part. Mallory takes a long pull of her beer before removing Bandit's necklace from her pocket. It feels different this time. Devin's gone. He's really gone. That you did, Annie. Deal with what I can. Fuck the rest. You're not going to throw that into the ocean too, are you? That's Mom, Peanut, Grim, and Dad. Just one goodbye left. I'm guessing that locket's going to be harder to replace than those contacts. Doesn't matter. I just want to stop hurting. Do you think getting rid of it will stop the pain? I don't know. I guess not. Well, then leave it in the deal with it pile until you're sure. Tomorrow's a whole new day. Anyway, it's checkout time. It was nice meeting you, Mallory. Annie stands with a friendly smile and makes to leave. So, yeah, I think she has a really good point. Like, what are some things that we could just throw in the fuck it bucket? And the stuff that, what was it? The pile you deal with later? Yeah, something like that. But yeah, there's a lot of things that people are focused on, and sometimes you just get overwhelmed, and that leads to depression because it raises anxiety. And it's also why I went into the store today and I found out that all the melatonin in the entire fucking store were pretty much gone. All the cheap stuff, not the high price. And you'll say, oh, it's for the kids. No, the kids stuff was the only stuff still there. Yeah, it was like gone. Because I was just going to get, like, you know, I take a small dose of melatonin every morning, every night to go to sleep. Not a, like a large dose. You know, you're supposed to take two. I only take one because it usually works. I don't have to do any more than that. But yeah, people were buying this shit. And if people aren't being able to sleep and they need that shit to sleep, that's a fucking problem. People got way too much anxiety and shit going on in their lives so they can't fucking sleep. So there's a lot of people that probably are dealing with shit that needs to go right in the fucking bucket. Yeah. Thanks. Anytime. Polygene Hot Labs, Tonaloo Harbor. Good afternoon, Sophie. George sent me. He's impatient for an update on Miss Cohen. So you are avoiding him. That can't be good news. And Mallory's ghosting me too. What's going on, Sophie? Sophie stands hurriedly as if late for a meeting. I don't have time for this right now. Come back this afternoon, and we'll talk. Whatever's going on will be easier if we're dealing with it as a team. Sophie hesitates and looks at you appraisingly. Very well. Amanda should be conscious by now, but she's not. Her body responded to the treatment like the virus that it is, and she spiked a high fever. Do you think that's why she hasn't woken up? I simply do not know. I believe we mitigated her fever in time, but each case is unique. If there's no improvement when I've returned, we must transfer her to a proper hospital. We knew this was always a risk. How has Mallory handled it? She's dealing with a lot right now. This isn't what she needed on top of what? The no-nonsense woman glances towards the door with obvious impatience. This is a conversation for the two of you. Now, if you'll excuse me. Can I sit with Amanda? Yes, of course. I don't need to tell you not to touch anything. If you're hoping to catch Miss Chapman, waiting here is your best bet anyway. As you enter Amanda's alcove, she seems to be sound asleep. So, you're Amanda, the friend who kept Mallory together. I hope someday you'll see how hard she tried to return the favor.
There is no Amanda. Only Zool. Fuck!
The power of Christ compels you!
Are you the key master?
Snort, giggle. And you're fucking with me, aren't you? Amanda makes a valiant effort to maintain a deadpan expression. Snicker. Oh my god, you should have seen your face. Ha ha ha. Ha. My sides blown the fuck out. I need new sides. You wait some time in indignant silence for her to regain control of herself. So, you must be the boy Mallory has been talking about. Grim? And you've just been lying in wait to make your first visitor shit himself? For 23,740 seconds, I smell no evidence of auto-defecation. That sounds disgusting and oddly specific. You know, a lot of people have been worried about you. I know, Mallory was actually here when I woke up, but I needed time to think. So, the treatment worked? You seem fine-ish. I'm a long way from fine-ish. You can say that again. My heart still feels like it's at a rave. I've been processing how I have changed. You're still the same person you were when you got here. That is demonstrably untrue. When I arrived, my mind worked very differently. I experienced the world through the filter of savantism and Rhett. Now they are gone. What? That's good, right? It's not quite that simple. Imagine you had an eidetic mind. but every memory was viewed through a pair of missing glasses that could never be replaced. So your memory is gone? No, but it has context I often cannot connect to. Distorted or unintelligible. I just noticed you don't use contractions. Perhaps my treatment exchanged savantism for OCD. Thanks for that, by the way! I will outlaw contractions as a form of hate speech when I inevitably rule the world. What? You're fucking with me again. Sadly, I'm not fucking with anyone today. I believe I have a UTI. Oh wow, not my wheelhouse. Let me call Sophie or Jay. Ah, now I understand. I have had a catheter inserted since I was unconscious for 2 weeks. Not a fan. Will you remove it for me, Grim? You stop Amanda as she begins untying the waistband of her scrubs. Hold up, let me call Dr. Allard. She can help you. Please, I look forward to hearing you explain why you refuse to remove my pants. Very funny. I'm really the last person you should be talking to right now. It was by design. I spoke to you first for a reason. I don't understand. Listen, Grim. Mallory has learned something that has her doubting her sense of self. Don't take this the wrong way, but have you met Mallory? That's sort of her thing. No, this is entirely different and based on a misunderstanding. She will need our help to see the truth. Because Sophie ran her DNA? I'm not sure how either of us can help her with that. For obvious reasons, I've been forced to reevaluate my own personhood. Mallory must do the same. And one of the reasons it matters to her is because of its implications for a relationship with you. Oh, I see. So there is a genetic connection. She has been avoiding you, correct? Sure seems like it. Text her and tell her I'm awake. She'll come. Alright. Let's see if she'll answer this time. Text me. It's really important. Hey, I was just about to call you. Sure. Where are you now? Okay. Well, she's at the beach. We know that. Ah, at the beach near the labs. Look, I'm really sorry about worrying you, Grim. Amanda's treatment didn't go well, and I needed some time to work through some other stuff. We can talk about it later. Amanda's awake and she's asking for you. Oh my god, why didn't you lead with that? I'm on my way. A few minutes pass before Mallory rushes into the room breathlessly. Wow, that was fat. Mallory shoots you a complicated look as she passes and you notice her contacts are missing. Walking right past you, she rounds the partition to the patient area. Peanut! Are you a god? Mallory instantly turns around and walks back wide-eyed the way she came. Nope, 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 nope. Giggles uncontrollably. Mal, wait, it's a thing she does. What? She's fine. Ish. I'm right here, you know. Mallory stares at you in disbelief. Hi, Mal. Amanda, you look like I have a catheter stuck up my cooch. Oh, the doctor is on her way. I know, I'm very thirsty. Could I get some water, please? Grim, would you mind? Sure, one water, coming up. They must want some privacy. I'll just pretend there wasn't a sink right behind them. You make yourself scarce for a respectable amount of time before returning with some ice water. Here you go. Thank you, Grim. He knows he was sent away so we could talk and took his time. I like him. She's smart. Somehow, for some reason, she's Yoda. We can keep him for now. We? You've been awake 5 minutes and think you'll get a vote on who I'm seeing? My grasp of social convention is dumpster tier, and it will take time for me to adapt. My path to normal means leaning on you and whomever we are dating. I'm sorry, I thought I heard you say the we word again. Mallory shoots an annoyed stare at her friend while Amanda smirks at you playfully. Is she like a symbiote now? We are Venom. Before the conversation can get any more awkward, Sophie makes a brusque entrance. I'd like a moment with our patient, please. Exchanging glances with Mallory, you step out to the office while the doctor examines Amanda. I think you look great without those lenses. Mallory looks slightly self-conscious, but doesn't break eye contact. I just needed one more little push. I'm happy everyone gets to meet the real you now. My look might have changed a little, but my personality didn't. You sure about that? Feels like you've been ghosting me the past few weeks. Well, in my defense, I've been pretty stressed about Amanda. Mallory glances toward the patient area. For a moment, you think she's going to burst into tears, but she pulls herself together. Anyway, I guess it all worked out. I don't know what I expected, but this isn't it. Yeah, my friend is still in there, but she doesn't really understand her emotions yet. We'll have plenty of time to think about that later. It looks like they're wrapping up. To your surprise, you can see Amanda on her feet while Sophie approaches the two of you. I would not believe it if I did not see it with my own eyes. Wait, you're surprised that the treatment worked? Don't be ridiculous. Still, she is the first of her kind, so the effect on her mind was unpredictable. What do you mean? She means she knew I could wake up batshit crazy. The gene therapy was successful, but her mind is still the product of a lifetime of autism. Her cognition seems very ordered, and she processes information very quickly. Perhaps by your standards. But the reliability of her memory may make her dependent on others for some time. Perhaps indefinitely. I have an adorable vagina! She might conceivably unify quantum mechanics and general relativity in 1 minute. And quite innocently tell a woman that a pair of jeans makes her butt look fat the next. It is funny because she is fat. Oh well, at least that hasn't changed. What will she need from us? Patience, care, and caution. Even I must restrain myself from overwhelming her with questions. Ah, that feels much better, but I got pee on the autoclave. There is no textbook for rehabilitating someone who's just been freed from autism. Thankfully, there is a textbook on freeing a catheter from my kitty on the console. I don't know, I like her. Maybe it's because she's still autistic. The three of you turn to see Amanda beaming at you victoriously with her pants around her ankles. Peanut! You're going to point out that everyone can see my girl parts. For starters, the old you wouldn't have just dropped her pants in front of strangers. Amanda pulls up her pants with a mischievous smirk. Displaying what is on offer to a potential mate seems more efficient than traditional courtship. Oh, we are going to get along famously. Come, Amanda, I want to run some more tests at the hospital with you. There will be time for that later. Grim, why don't you help Mallory move her belongings to the beach house? But you two are long overdue for a talk. I won't hear another word about it. Lead the way, I guess? I've been staying in a hotel in town. Let's go. Hotel San Marino, Tonalu Harbor. Maybe she'll be willing to open up, now that we're alone. I can't believe Amanda's all right, and she's so normal. Ish. Which reminds me, I better let Jay know. I already texted her on the way over. She wants to meet us after we're done here. It won't take long. I've been sleeping at Sophie's desk more than my own room. You do know that the beach house is closer to the annex than the hotel, right? Yeah, I might have heard something about it. If you wanted to avoid me, that's cool. Just tell me why. I'm sorry, Grim. You deserve an explanation. It's not you. It's me. Oof, first time I've been dumped before the first date. No, that's not... It was a joke, we can talk about it when we get to your room. As you entered the elevator, you notice Mallory seems tense and nervous. Something's changed. I guess it has. You don't seem self-conscious about your eyes at all now. Mallory turns to look at you pensively. I'm just done keeping up the pretense that the present changes the past. The elevator chimes and the doors open. So this is me unfiltered, everything out in the open. Entering Mallory's suite, you can see that she was telling the truth about sleeping at the annex. You really haven't spent much time here. Mallory faces you uncertainly, her eyes brimming with emotion. Grim, Sophie tested my DNA. And? Dad, Devin was right after all. I am a freak. It can't be that bad, Mal. Just tell me what you've learned. Mallory hesitates a long moment, composing herself before the words gush forth. I'm an engineer genetic approximation of Sarah Campbell, your mother.
Like, a clone?
Stunned at the implication, you sit heavily on the bed, and Mallory joins you. Look at his face. Not as I understand it, though. Though the lines get pretty blurry in the details. Then how? Sophie thinks Crucible is some sort of gene editing technology. To duplicate people? To select specific traits and rewrite the modified genome onto foreign cells, she thinks. Suddenly self-conscious about her eyes again, Mallory looks away. But obviously, the technology isn't perfect, or at least it wasn't when I was made. How would that even work? Mechanically, it's similar to IVF, only the zygote is edited before implantation. My mother was pregnant with me and carried me to term. I may have even grown from her egg. A process intended to make minor edits like eye color replaced a whole human being with me. Devin crossed every ethical line known to medicine, abusing it to get what he wanted most. Mallory's voice falters, but not before you hear despair creep into it. I can see this is tearing her up, but I feel... Mom isn't here now, but Mallory is. I need to help her deal with this if I can. I'll have plenty of time to figure out my own feelings on it later. You know, I was super close to my mother. I owe a lot of who I am to her. But as much as I loved her, I never felt toward her the way I do towards you. Mallory looks at you in confusion. Grim, let me finish. I do see similarities, but they're superficial. You are not my mother. Devin failed before he started because what made Mom special can't be copied in a lab. He's right about that. Mallory's expression turns solemn and conflicted. And what makes you unique can't be manufactured in one either. It's true. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but you're not a product. You're a person, defined and shaped by the sum of her experiences. Even if someone's biological potential can be duplicated, what a person does with it cannot. You're a woman who overcame the odds to become someone my mother would have respected. A hint of smile returns to Mallory's face. Does this unit have a soul? You stare at her for a moment in stunned silence. Mom also wasn't a huge-ass nerd. Great game, but that ending sucked. She eagerly meets you halfway as you lean in to kiss her. You feel a different energy in the contact this time. Languid and unhurried. The kiss deepens and your hand slides beneath her shirt to cup her breasts. Mallory shudders as your fingertip glides along across her hardening nipple beneath the fabric. Parting for a moment, you lie down on the bed, gazing at one another contemplatively. I'm gonna let you guys decide this one. What do you want me to do? Let me know. This is biological clone of his mother. Of course, it's not the same person, but it looks like the same person. So, it's a bit of a weird taboo, right? Because it's his mother, a young version, but it's not, because it's, again, a completely different person. Everything he said in there is 100% true. Even if you have, like, okay, if a clone was created of me, and went through completely different experiences than I did, it would be a completely different person than me. It wouldn't be Grim. It'd be somebody else. It may look like me. I mean, to the note. But it wouldn't be me. You know? Because your experiences, they make up who you are. And without them, you know, we'd just be kind of plain and boring and all that sort of thing, right? So, at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I will see you guys next time with this choice that you'll have to make, because I'm really not sure. I don't know which way I want to go. I mean, I'm at the point where I want to show you guys a scene, but at the same time, I don't want to show something that you guys may not be down with. Like, oh, yeah, probably not on this one, Grim. So if you guys don't want to see the scene, oh, that's fine. We can skip it. We can go forward to the story. But I'm going to let you guys decide because, yeah, it's your thing. It's my channel, but you guys are the audience. So let me know. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I'm out, and I'll see you next time on Grimm's Uncanny Valley with more Chasing Sunsets. Stay tuned.